today on Real Radio.
All of a sudden, salvation is available to all of us if we will repent. That's why the Bible cries out to us, repent! Change your mind. If you don't like to use the word repent, fine. Shout to your friends, change your mind, will ya? That's what it means. Change your mind.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. A key step in receiving salvation is recognizing what's often called the sin problem. That is, that we have a sin nature and we're incapable of not sinning. Which is exactly why pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs emphasizes repentance in this lesson he calls You Need to Know All About Your Salvation.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says there, listen carefully now, everybody, it's very serious. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ, to a different gospel, which is not another. The word another means a second gospel or a third gospel or anything other than the original. He says in verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. The word is condemned or damned. It's the word anathema or anathema. That which is now condemned. Verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Why does he say this? Because there are other gospels out there. What does that mean? The Bible says, watch out, because there's going to be other people arriving from this point on, 2,000 years ago, there'll be others arriving telling you different ways to get to heaven. Now, that's what the Bible says. You can believe it or not, but the Bible says it. And I want to ask you, has that not been true? Did not the Bible anticipate that coming to pass? Yep. And so you've got a plethora of religious founders and books and publications and so-called revelations, all of them undermining and taking away from the deity of Christ, from the message of the gospel found in the Bible. And isn't it interesting? Every single one of them has a dependence upon the person's performance in legalism. Even if it's blowing yourself up to attain some level of heaven, to keeping all of the rules and the regulations. Why did Satan invent such things? Number one, because we are suckers for getting ourselves messed up into what God has done. Look, God gives us life, we're the ones who mess it up. God gives us this creation, we're the ones that mess it up. God gives Adam and Eve the garden, they wind up messing it up. We're really good at messing things up. That's why salvation, as we've been looking, has been provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, listen to this. As you guys well know by now, that the topic of salvation, the doctrine of soteriology, is so vital and so important that without it, you have no hope, you have no chance of eternal life. All other doctrines of the Bible support it. Thomas Jefferson, one of our nation's founders, said, and I quote, the doctrines of Jesus are simple, and a tell-all to the happiness of man. Think of that for a moment. What's the root, what's the basis, according to Thomas Jefferson, that is foundational, demands happiness? He says it's the doctrines of Jesus Christ. I agree with that. And the chief doctrine of Jesus Christ was the one that he preached more than any other doctrine. And that is the doctrine of salvation. The doctrine of salvation comes to us in the package of the gospel. The gospel delivers the news, the message of salvation. So imagine if UPS pulled up. By the way, yesterday, driving down Grand Avenue, I saw a UPS truck. Maybe you're here right now. And I was blown away. I'm driving by this UPS truck, and they have one of our church stickers on the truck. And I'm going to start using UPS now for everything for that, you know? But I thought that was pretty cool. God bless you. What a boldness. That's awesome. But imagine a UPS box coming to your house. All you see is a box. You know, oh boy, I ordered that thing. You take the box and you're happy to have it. You're happy to see it, but it's no good to you unless you open it. And when you open it, you get all the goodies that are on the inside. The gospel is the box. Salvation is inside. You tamper with salvation, which is on the inside, you ain't got no box. Oh, you'll have something at your porch left there by somebody, but inside is a false gospel. Inside is something that is not of God. It's not true. But the preaching of the gospel is all about bringing us the doctrine of salvation. And Paul warns us, watch out. So we looked at it last time in part one, that salvation is experienced three different key ways. Number one is we saw that it's a gift of God's grace alone. God gifts us by his grace this salvation. That's how it's experienced. God brings it. And I love that because he provides it. He guarantees it. He empowers it. God does it. It's all of God. It's a gift. Not something you can earn, but a gift. Secondly, we saw that it must be received by faith. It must be received by faith. That's an amazing thing right there. Look at you. 2,000 years later, you've not seen Jesus personally. You've not heard the rumblings of heaven or the quaking of a Mount Sinai. And yet you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a wonderful weirdo in the eyes of the world. So am I. A strange contradiction. You silly Christian, you believe and your life has been transformed by someone you've never seen. You're in love with someone and you've entrusted your soul to him and you've never met him. That is a miracle, my friend. That is an awesome thing. It must be received. And third, last time we saw that it's all provided by Jesus and his merits at the cross. Salvation that's inside the box of the gospel, all of it brought to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. But wait, there's more. He died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the grave for your justification. And he's given you the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned last time, all of us who are Christians, we know that we have eternal life because the Spirit of God bears witness within us that we are children of God. So church, here we go. Moving out from Galatians chapter 1, we come to our second argument in You Need to Know in this series all about your salvation, and that is this: where do you begin? So where do I begin in this journey, this venture of salvation? Number one, we'll spend most of our time here this morning, not all of it, most of it, and that is understanding repentance. Will you write that down? Repentance. Don't miss this. Repentance. Understanding what repentance means in the Bible. Not only in theological terms is the doctrine of repentance important, but it's a salvation requirement. I want that to sink in for a moment. I pause for effect. The doctrine of repentance regarding salvation is that it's necessary to actually have this salvation that Christ provides. He's done it all. So what do I need to do? What do you need to do? You need to understand what repentance means in the Bible. Technically speaking, listen, repentance precedes the conclusion of salvation, or repentance precedes the goal of salvation. So what do you mean? Listen, I mean this. It could be years. It could be months. It could be weeks. It could be days. It could be moments. It could be seconds. That's up to God. In your life, when a person begins to think, because the word repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia, two words in Greek. Meta is after, later, meta. Noia is to think or to have thoughts, later thoughts, afterthoughts. That's what metanoia means. It is required, listen, for you to have salvation, it is required that you have an afterthought. You have to have an afterthought before you can be saved. Again, we've often mentioned during this series, the thief on the cross. Perfect example. Gets on the cross, crucified, cursing Jesus. Winds up during that period of time of a matter of hours, has an absolute change of mind, metanoia, and winds up confessing Christ from the cross. What happened? Meta, afterthought. He went on the cross having one opinion about Jesus Christ, one thought about Jesus Christ, and in a moment's time changed completely. Do you understand what I'm saying? He changed his mind. All of a sudden, salvation is available to all of us if we will repent. That's why the Bible cries out to us, repent! Change your mind. If you don't like to use the word repent, fine. Shout to your friends, change your mind, will ya? That's what it means. Change your mind. The word means, of course, to alter course. It doesn't mean just alter course 10 degrees. I think you know the answer, right? You know where I'm going with this. It doesn't mean 92 degrees. It doesn't mean 173 degrees. The word metanoia means to change the course that you're thinking 180 degrees. 180, not 181. As soon as you go from 181, you're going back to where you started. A lot of people have a change of mind concerning Jesus. They get away from that and go right back to doing works of righteousness to try to earn their salvation. You've missed it. Repent, turn 180 degrees in your thinking. The New Testament, of course, is replete with this word. And let us begin with looking at what, and it's valuable that we do this, what repentance is not. We need to lay this down. What is it not? And this is quite serious. I need your attention because this is critical. You may, I hope not, but you may fall into one of these categories or all of them, and you better get out of that category quick because hell is hot and heaven's awesome and we want you there with us. And if you mess this one up, you're not going to blame me in the day of judgment, and you're not going to blame your mom. It's you. Are you ready? Listen carefully. This is what repentance is not. It's not being sorry for what you've done. What? I just heard this on a Christian program. Well, that's not what it means. Repentance regarding the gospel does not mean you're sorry for what you've done. Many people today feel very sorry for the life they've lived. They look around at their life and they're really disappointed with how their life turned out. They look around, they see the damage their horrible decisions have done regarding their families. And they're very sorry. Listen, do you know anybody? Don't shout the name out or anything, but do you know anybody like that? Listen, we all know people like that, but are they Christians? No, I know people who are very sorry for all the terrible things they did in life, and they look around and they see how sorry they are for all the things it's caused in the troubles of their life. But the moment you bring up Jesus to them, boy, they're not shy about letting you know their opinion about Jesus. They're very sorry. But they're not sorry unto salvation. They're not sorry unto biblical repentance. The second thing is, and make sure again you're not in these categories, repentance is not feeling guilty for the things that you've done. Oh, I feel so guilty. What does that do? So what? Do you feel guilty? Why do you feel guilty? Oh, I've done some terrible things. Well, you ought to find out how to deal with that guilt. Oh, I'm taking drugs. It's okay. Well, you ought to figure out what to do about that guilt. I drink a lot. Well, you ought to figure out what to do about that guilt. Oh, I try to ignore it as much as possible. Stay busy. Amass a bunch of wealth around me or whatever, education, whatever, something to occupy my mind. That's not repentance. Doesn't matter how sorry you are. Doesn't matter how guilty you are. Thirdly, this is the scariest thing of all. Repentance is not regretting all of the aspects or certain things even of your life. Regret is not repentance. Listen to this. This is what the criminal feels when he's caught, or the lawbreaker. You ever been caught? Oh, man. In that moment, your heart is immediate. That's why you feel kind of sick when you get caught. Then you start thinking it through. Oh, did I know? Listen, did I know I shouldn't have done that? Yes, I even knew before I went and did it. Are you surprised you got caught? Listen. I'm not surprised I got caught. I'm just bummed I got caught. There's a lot of people in the jail down there in L.A. that are really regretting getting caught. Are they sorry for their lives? Oh, very sorry. Do they regret? Yes, I regret. Do they have this little trinity of destruction? Are their feelings just, oh, I feel terrible. I'm so burdened. So sorry. So guilty. So regretting. Not one of those things do anything for you in getting to heaven. That is not repentance. I'll prove it to you in a moment. The Bible says in Matthew 27:3-4, then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was, look at the word, remorseful, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. Man, I messed up. Boy, this didn't work out the way that I had planned. I'm so disappointed. Here's your money back. And Jesus kisses Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane following this, and he says, is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man? That was Judas's last chance to repent of his ways. There was no repentance in his heart. Remorseful, guilty, sad, disappointed, but not repentful. By the way, when anyone in your life or when you in someone else's life repent, when you're repentful, you come more than sorry. You come more than feeling guilty. You come more than having regrets. Listen, if your wife says, I'm so sorry, I want to come back, I repent. If your husband says the same. True repentance, friends, listen, this is free. Write it down. True repentance never has conditions. I'm so sorry for the way things turned out. But just so you know, there's about three things I am not going to consider regarding this relationship. That's not repentance. You understand that? God deals with us the exact same way. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, listen, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the kingdom of God. And if you just stopped right there, there'd be volumes written. What did he mean? What did he say? What is it? Well, he answers us, saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. How do I get in? Where do I sign up? Metanoia. Repent and believe in the gospel. The word repent is the first word of the gospel. There is no gospel preaching. There's no gospel teaching. There's no salvation without the word repent. Now listen, I heard on a radio program recently, and I wrote it down. The guy said, are you sorry for all of your mistakes? Then come to Jesus. Your emotions may say, oh, isn't that great? I can come to Jesus because I make mistakes. Jesus is not the mistake fixer. Jesus does not make bad men good. Jesus makes dead men live. Listen, the gospel, because it brings salvation to you, transforms you. Jesus didn't die on the cross to fix your mistakes. He died on the cross to have your sins be forgiven. When a preacher or an evangelist or a Christian tells you, you ought to consider Jesus because he'll fix your mistakes. That's not the gospel. We have got to get to the key and to the core, which is change your mind about your opinion about who Christ is. Listen, everybody, imagine for a moment, all of us in this room are non-believers. You're all non-Christians, and you're here right now. You're not a Christian. You're not a Christ follower. The Bible teaches regarding this preaching of the gospel to the lost, this metanoia. The announcement is, for those who have an opinion of Jesus which is not biblical, change your mind about your opinion and adopt God's view, God's word, God's truth of who Jesus is. Church, why do you think the Bible over and over and over again says Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus died on the cross and rose again for your sins. Why does it say that over and over and over again? Because that is his mission. That's what he came to do. And the non-believer today walking around the world, according to the Bible, God does not hear their prayers. Did you know that? It's impossible. God will not listen to the prayers of a non-believer. He says so. Does that shock you? Why? First of all, why in the world would he listen to somebody who's diametrically opposed to the Son of God? He will not. That's why, by the way, the Bible says that we are to come to God in the name of Jesus Christ. The word name doesn't mean his name. The name means in the authority of Jesus Christ. Listen. If you're not a Christian, you do not and cannot come to God under the authority of Jesus Christ. You reject his authority. Do you follow this? So there is one confession that God is looking for the non-believer. Only one. As it were, God's ears are plugged until the non-believer makes this repentance or comes to the gospel statement. Jesus, or God, or Lord, I confess. Notice what Romans 10 says. If you confess, we saw it last week, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Okay, listen. If you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, God's ears are open to your cry from that moment on. Listen, to become a Christian, you do not confess to me or to the priest or to somebody by enumerating your sins. You do not go down the list. Okay, I want to become a Christian. Okay, well, you need to confess your sins. Well, I got a list. Can you imagine? How long is that thing? How long are we going to be here? That's not what the Bible says to do. The Bible says for the non-believer to make confession of faith in Jesus Christ. That's where you begin. That's it. Saved. Salvation. You say, oh, no, Jack, the Bible says we're to confess our sins. I'm not done yet. When it comes to repentance towards the non-believer, God is expecting and waiting to hear you change your mind about your opinion of who Jesus is and come to God's revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That is all important. That is what's necessary. Listen to this. I quote, "The confession of your sins to a priest or to a friend, listen, even to God himself, is absolutely worthless and holds no value unless you first repent of your understanding of who Jesus Christ is and come to the knowledge of him. He must be to you who he said he was to the world. Change your mind today about who Jesus is and be saved, be rescued, be born again." Isn't that a great statement? Believe, change your opinion now of who Jesus Christ is and believe him for who he said he was to the world. He says, I'm the Son of God, Savior of the world. If you have a different opinion, you're lost. God says, here is my Son, believe him, trust him. That's the repentance God is looking for. Dr. Charles Ryrie writes, and I quote, "Those who are criminals, for example, are very distraught about their condition, who are very sorry about their criminality and the damage that they have caused, but they are not willing to come to Christ to have their sins forgiven. This is not a biblical repentance. This is a carnal remorse. This is guilt. This is sorrow. But this kind of grief does not lead to salvation. It is imperative that you search your heart to determine if you are willing to not only face your sin, but to pick it up and to run with it straight to Jesus Christ and give it to him. The act of doing so is biblical repentance."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. It's one in a mini-series that emphasizes repentance in the salvation process. You Need to Know All About Your Salvation is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About Your Salvation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, one of the more, shall we say, awkward moments when sharing our faith is simply getting that conversation started. You know, just breaking the ice, wouldn't you agree? Well, here's one way. Tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. If you have the Real Life smartphone app, maybe you can show it to your friend. And if you don't have it, remember, it's a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. If your friend's already a believer, simply direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. So again, maybe in the next few days, tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And maybe even direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.